We've all been there, stuck at a boring family party, or an awkward date, or in a below-par job interview, or any number of situations where conversation has become more of a trickle than a flow. Well, fear not, because Richard Herring's Emergency Questions is about to change your life, containing 1,001 conversation starters from one of our most cherished comedians, along with plenty of answers from the many household names who've appeared on his podcast. This is a book guaranteed to remove any social anxiety from your life. It's by Richard Herring, phenomenal writer, performer and podcaster, and he joins me live on the line now. Richard, good afternoon to you.
Hello, how you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. So we've all been there, that situation where conversation just kind of dries up.
Yeah, and that's sort of where this came from. I was doing my podcast and, you know, it's quite an exhausting thing to do, and I had Jonathan Ross on quite an early one, and I was a bit nervous because obviously he's a proper interviewer and I'm just messing around, and I found myself, you know, thinking, not knowing what to say next. So I just started writing down sort of dumb questions that I thought would get the conversation flying if that happened again, and they became a big feature of the podcast, and then people started doing them in real life and kind of emailing me and telling me they'd help them out of awkward situations or even dangerous situations. Someone was trapped in the Himalayas and passed the time asking these questions to their friends to take their mind off what was going on, and luckily they were all fine and got out and lived to tell the tale. So I thought there must be, you know, I think this has a wider context beyond the podcast and the podcast listenership, and so we put together like 1,001 questions that we think will help get the conversation going. If one doesn't work, you move on to the next one, I guess, as well, so that's quite good.
And the podcast itself, then, the one that you were doing, which you were stuck with Jonathan Ross...
Yes,
it was called.
Oh, it's called Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre Podcast, yes, I've been doing it for 6 or 7 years now. We've just done the 200th episode the other week, well, this week, but which will be out in a little while. So, a very funny one. It's quite a rude, because it's on online. I'm allowed to be rude and silly and childish and push the boundaries back a bit. So it's not for absolutely everyone. But the latest one's just gone up on iTunes, and it's on the British Comedy Guide and YouTube as well. We filmed them as well with Greg Davies from Taskmaster, which is a very childish one, but a very, very funny one, I think people have said. So, that keeps on going, and that's nice. And then, it's lovely to get this this book off of the back of that, because this is just a podcast that I do for... that I've just sort of started doing for the fun of it, really, and, you know, if it goes out for free, so it's nice to sort of have something that people can then buy if they've enjoyed the podcast, or if they just want to have a book of 1,001 ridiculous and interesting questions.
I mean, 1,001, it sounds quite easy to do, but it must be a piece of work. I mean, how did you go about, you know, picking these out? Were they just ones that had cropped up normally? Did you put the request out there? You went to friends and colleagues and asked, presumably?
I asked some of the people from the podcast if I could use questions that were based on stuff that we talked about, so that's a degree of it. We did a Kickstarter and I wrote a book of 500 questions, and I thought, oh, that'll be easy. I probably got 300, and then I realised I had 30 that was used. it sort of became a thing where there's a Twitter account called Emergency Questions. I think it's Emergency Q, at Emergency Q. And so I'd write one a day for a little while, so that would help. But in the end, you know, when you're doing 1,001, I had two previous books that I used a couple of hundred of questions from. Then it was just a matter of sitting down and writing some more. And it's a weird thing, because I think adults aren't very... people send them to me, and adults aren't very good at it. The only really good ones I've had are from kids, because I think you have to be... to get the right kind of level of... especially the surreal ones, to get the right level of... funny but also answerable, and also that will lead to a conversation. So one of the ones I came up with early was, would you rather have a hand made out of ham or an armpit that dispenses sun cream, which leads to so many extra questions about what happens with the hand, and what factors the sun cream, and how much do you get, and does the hand grow back if you eat it, that's why it's a conversation starter, because the other person has to ask you lots of questions about what the rules of that question are. And someone like David Mitchell, who's been on the podcast a couple of times, answers these questions brilliantly, because he's a very pedantic man who will answer them very sensibly, as if they're the most sensible questions in the world. He sort of treats me like an intelligent 9-year-old, really, and and answers my questions as if they're sensible. But you do find out things about people that you wouldn't find out. Some of them are very banal, like have you ever been in a canoe, or have you ever seen a ghost, things like that that other people might ask. But then I think the mixture of some slightly crude ones, which you can choose to avoid or change. You can change the nouns if you're talking to your grandma or someone. There are 100 book questions in the book specifically designed for kids. There's questions that are designed for dating. And, you know, you obviously have to use your own intelligence as to whether it's a good situation to ask.
What makes a good emergency question? One that people can answer and then they'll go off on tangents in several different ways, I suppose.
Yeah, and a little bit, just something that people won't have been asked before. I think, like, especially for me interviewing comedians and celebrities, I know from being interviewed that you get asked the same questions all the time and you have a sort of script in your head ready to answer a lot of those questions. And I've found with the podcast, if you ask a question people haven't been asked before, even if it's quite banal, even if it's silly, they'll want to come up with something entertaining. They'll rack their brains and probably find something that answers the question, but also having access to that part of their brain, they are then, rather than reading from a script, they've opened up, you know, and have started answering questions and ad-libbing them. And then I find weird in the podcast that having done that, the answers that come subsequent to the questions they might have been asked before are different, and I manage to get different stories out of people. And I think that's true if you're using this book at home, you know. And I hope it'll be something that people have at Christmas, and then on Boxing Day they've got all their family around and everyone's a bit awkward, and, you know, there's relatives you don't really gel with, or relatives you've got problems with. And then actually, if you also just start answering these silly questions, hopefully it sort of bring you together and get you laughing and get you chatting, and, you know, maybe get you fighting as well, but hopefully not.
at this special time of year. But it is a very British thing, isn't it? That hatred of awkward silences, and we don't seem to want to get involved, you know, to leap in with a statement, do we?
No, it's an awful thing. I mean, I think especially on a date, it's, you know, that's where it's all the worst, isn't it? You're on a first date with someone, and then you're thinking, I've got to come up with something interesting. You always ask each other the same sort of boring questions on a first date. And B, if there's that silence and it goes on for longer than 5 seconds, suddenly you're thinking, oh God, I've got to leap in with something. And then the longer the silence, the better that question then has to be. So I think if you can, you know, I mean, it's a bit weird to bring out a book on a date, but I think you could sort of make a joke of it. And also, if the question doesn't go down well, you can blame me. You can come together over what an idiot I am. So I think it's sort of fairly foolproof. People have used them. I think things like Tinder and similar sorts of apps and web-based things, they're actually, again, you'll get the same questions coming through. So if you're the person coming through with a question, that no one's ever heard before about ham hands or about...
The unremovable barbed wire in a certain place, or to be attacked by a rabid badger in your sleep once a week, for example, that would get out of storm on Tinder.
So, yeah, I don't think anyone will have asked that question before unless they've got my book. So people will think, oh, this person's interesting, or this person's, you know, a bit more imaginative than the many, many similar things I'm getting on Tinder. So I think it does definitely work. I've had people tell me, and I've had people get together as a result, or certainly their first date has gone well and they've got together as a result of using some of these questions. And I think that's the thing with any social interaction. You're just trying to work out what kind of person you click with. And if you don't click on these questions, if you find them hilarious and they don't, you kind of go, okay, well, we can move on from that person. And if they do, you kind of got a friend for life, hopefully. So, I think just that little nudge away, because, it can be, I mean, obviously I talk for a living and I've got quite good at just being able to talk at any occasion, but even I still sometimes, dry up and feel that kind of prickling, that heat rising up your spine as you realize things are going badly. So, you know, it's been very useful for me to have this book as well, I have to say, and have these questions. So
I mean, presumably,
I hope people will enjoy them in the same way.
Presumably, it's best to have a couple of these in your back pocket, well recited, before you go into any social function, and then tell them to see how they go.
Yeah, you can do that. Some people have written them on, like, cards at wedding tables and stuff like that, you know, and just so they're there. So you can do lots of different things with them. You can just carry the book around with you, or you can just sort of work out which ones you like. And as I said, I play. Richard Osman's written a great book called The World Cup of Things, which me and my family played in the room I'm in now in last Christmas. And, you know, again, everyone was a bit, oh, I'm not sure about this to start with. And then actually we had just the best night of our of our family lives of me and my in-laws and everyone enjoying it. So, you know, I hope my book will do the same.
Any particular favourites you would tempt our listening audience with before they rush out and buy?
Oh, my goodness. I'd love them all because they're... you've got to be careful as well reading them out because some of them look like they're...
I mean, we've got one here...
They're fairly benign.
And
then they're not. I'll pick one at random.
Go on.
Have you ever employed a smith of any kind? That's an interesting question.
Yeah, I haven't done that.
But you can have maybe someone called Smith. I really like things like, have you ever seen a Bigfoot, just because it's unlikely. But again, you know, if someone has, then we're off on a great... there's some Christmas ones. Can't ask you that one.
Well, Dawn French said, and I quote, most of this book is pointless filth. All of it is hilarious. And my answer to question 715A is, yes, thank you, and it was very tasty.
Yeah, well, so you've got to read the book, buy the book to... I think you might be disappointed because I think she's joking, but you have to buy the book to find out what's your favourite flat thing. You know, they're just meant to make your brain go to places that they haven't been before. And just everyone I'm looking at now is rude, but they're not all rude.
No, that's fine. Presumably, it's an organic thing, I looked at the Twitter feed before I came on air, and it keeps going and going and going.
Yes, no, I mean, people do like, you know, it's kind of not, and it's something I chanced across by accident. It's something that took me quite a long time to realise was a potential way of, you know, of monetising this podcast a little bit. But, yeah, that's when it's nice, when things happen organically and you sort of realise what's, you know, when something's working, when people start getting in touch with you and either on Twitter or Facebook or by email, you know, and let you know how much they're enjoying something, that kind of gives you this good idea that you've got something that's quite special. And I think there's a lot of potential for this idea, I think, in terms of where we can take it in the future. Because the podcast itself, I think, has to be on the internet because it's a long-form thing. And it's, you know, and the fact there are no rules is I think, what makes it fun for the audience and the guests. So I think something like this might work as a TV show as well. So yeah, hopefully it'll keep going onwards and upwards, and we'll see. But yeah, it's been a lot of fun. You know, it's been a lot of fun doing this podcast. It's kind of fun to do something that I've just created it myself, and I'm in charge of it, and I can decide how long it goes on for. And so far, I'm enjoying it after 200 episodes. So yeah, so hopefully people will tune into that and get the ideas of how these questions work. And and, you know, I think it's a very good Christmas present, this book, just because it's I think anyone can enjoy it on some level, but also it's you're bringing kind of laughter and conversation, and you're providing a lot of the punchlines. There are some funny things in there, but it allows you to be funny by hopefully setting you up and exploring your interesting stories about awful things you've done or embarrassed things you've done, but you know, also great things you've done, hopefully.
And I mean, with the festive season coming up, and those parties you get stuck in where you're standing around in a room thinking, I can't have another cheese and pineapple, what's it? I've got to say something, it's going to be an absolute lifesaver. The book.
Yeah.
The book is called Emergency Questions, 1001 Conversation Savers for Any Situation. It's now on Sphere. It's by Richard Herring. Richard, if people want to tune into the podcast, join in the ongoing Twitter line, as it were, how can they find you?
Well, I'm Herring1967, 1967, on Twitter. I've got a website, richardherring.com, which will give you links to everything. I write a daily blog, which is just coming up to its 16th birthday. I've written, but on two more days, I'll have written an entry for every day for the last 16 years. So there's some catching up to do there. And that also gives you all ideas of gigs and links to the book and stuff.
I look forward to that. Richard, it's been a pleasure to speak to you. What is your favourite flat thing, by the way?
My favourite flat thing is the pancakes my wife sometimes makes in the morning.
Is the correct answer. Richard Herring, author of Emergency Questions, thank you for your time today.
Thank you. Cheers. Bye-bye.